I don't know who's responsible for the snowflake display out in the hallway. I assume that was either preschool or a Sunday school class, but thank you very much. Carrie's class, thank you, Carrie. She's at Sunday school, I think. That was wonderful because it reminded us, as I shared with the children this morning, that we're all like snowflakes. We're all masterpieces of beauty. We're all different and unique and very delicate. There are also some that are very irregular, different looking, and having, you know, odd shapes and so forth. And when they melt, they are gone forever. We are like snowflakes, masterpieces of God, precious, one of a kind, and temporary. Yes, we have our irregularities too. Just like some snowflakes that look a little bit irregular. We have our irregularities physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. We are unique, irregular human beings created by a perfect and loving Creator. As I shared with the children, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The psalmist today reminds us that the Lord is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? The psalmist cries out to God in praise and in confidence, but woven through this psalm are sometimes some doubts, but then he comes back to the confidence that he has in God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He says. If we are precious, if we are temporary, if we are unique, then we need a Savior to save us and protect us, or else we are lost. Today's challenge is choosing between fear and faith, between faith and fear. And I believe this psalmist is giving us some help in this area, because we all face fears and we all need faith. You see, faith says in the face of fear and difficulty and adversity, God is my light. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my refuge and strength. But we have fear to deal with as well, as the psalmist did. And that got me to thinking about the different kinds of things that we fear. I did a little research on the internet and found a list, and I'm sure you've seen similar lists, of what are people's greatest fears. You see what number one is? Fear of flying. Fear of flying. You see what's right behind it, don't you? Number two? Public speaking. Yeah. Number three? Fear of heights. Number four, where is it? Fear of the dark. Number five, intimacy. Fear of intimacy. Six, fear of dying. Seven, fear of failure. Eight, rejection. Nine, spiders. Any acrophobes in the room? And number 10, one that we in the church are very familiar with, fear of commitment. Fear of commitment. All these are fears, and I think if we looked at the fears that we may struggle with in a day's time, a week's time, in our lives, we'll find that they're generally related to one of these fears here. But if we choose faith over fear, our outlook on life, our outlook on our difficulties and struggles can be much different. Again, the psalmist says, the Lord is my light. What does he mean by that? What does it mean to have the Lord as his light? Well, living in the light means living in God's presence. What does that mean, living in God's presence? Well, I'm reminded of Moses, who went up the mountain after the Exodus, and he went up to the mountain of God, and when he was in the presence of God, he was in a glorious light. God is always affiliated and seen in terms of light. And when Moses met with God to receive the Ten Commandments and to receive the law of God, the glory, they call it the Shekinah glory of God, shone upon Moses, and his face was transformed. It was so brilliant and so bright that the people couldn't stand Moses when he came down off the mountain to look at him, because he had been in the light of God, the presence of God. And so he had to wear a veil over his face when he proclaimed the word, when he preached, when he taught, when he shared with the people. To live in the light of God is to live close to God. Well, how do we do that? Well, you're here today is part of living in the light. Your prayer time is living in the light. Your study of God's word, being alone with God in your devotions or in your meditation time or in your private time, your prayer closet, or wherever you go to be alone with God. But it also is serving God. Living in the light means sharing that light, like some of you have shared your light with us today in your stories. And worship, of course, is part of living in that light. But we also have to remember that there are many in the world walking and living in darkness. And it's our calling and our responsibility to show them the light, to reflect that light like Moses' face reflected God's glory, to share that light with others. The psalmist says, "The Lord is my salvation and my stronghold." You'll recall the story of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, trying to escape Egypt. They were being pursued by Pharaoh's soldiers. And when they made it to the other side and the walls of water came crashing down, you've all seen the Ten Commandments, you know what I'm talking about. When they got to the other side and they realized what God had done for them, what did they do? They sang. It's called Miriam's Song of Celebration in the Old Testament. And part of that song says, "The Lord is my strength and has become our salvation." And if you study the Psalms, if you read the Psalms over and over and over again, you hear the psalmists writing about how God is a refuge, God is a shelter, God is a tabernacle, a tent, some kind of refuge, saving refuge. We have hymns throughout our hymnal like, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." When you look at this church, the sanctuary of the church, when you come riding down the road, what does it remind you of? A castle, a fortress, mighty, strong, made of stone and steel and glass and wood. These churches were built to represent the very presence of God in each community. A mighty fortress is our God. You see, God is our salvation from disaster, our stronghold and saving refuge for all who trust in Him. That's what the psalmist is saying to us today. It is God who is our salvation, not the government. It is God who is our refuge and strength, not our families. It is God who is our salvation and not Social Security or our 401ks or our bank accounts or our portfolios, not even our friends and family. It is God who saves us, not the things of this world. Today I'm talking about choosing between faith and fear. That's very clear to me, at least, in this psalm. I want to talk to you about a particular gentleman who chose fear over faith. You've all heard of Apple computers, I'm sure. It started with three guys working, I think, in a garage or a basement or something. Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and Ron Winter. Ron Winter was one of the three. Did I pronounce his name right? Ron Wayne, excuse me. Ron Wayne. Ron Wayne wasn't real sure about this whole Apple business, this whole computer thing. And so after 12 days of the company coming into existence, he says, I want out. And out of fear of losing his investment and fear of losing all his money, he sold out to the Wozniak and Jobs. If Ron Wayne had maintained the shares of ownership in the company that he had back then, he would be worth $22 billion today. Instead, he's 76 years old, living on Social Security and selling stamps and coins on the side. He chose fear instead of faith. When we choose faith over fear, we receive the assurance of God's power and presence in all of life's challenges. Let me repeat that. When we choose faith over fear, we receive the assurance of God's power and presence in all of life's challenges. The psalmist desired to, quote, live in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, of my life. To live in the presence of God, to live in the temple, to live in God's presence. You know, the temple represented the very presence of God in Jerusalem and to the people of Israel. It was where God lived, if you will, not physically, but spiritually. It was a symbol of God's presence, just like the churches are supposed to represent God's presence in the communities in which they serve. The psalmist is saying, I want to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That is, abiding, living, dwelling with God every day of my life.